You know the drought is getting serious when California's governor declares a drought in January, and the California legislature announces legislative moves to help potential drought victims, and religious leaders spend part of the weekend, they did, praying for rain in Utah and Nevada. A little precipitation fell on the region last week and a little more over the weekend. It's not enough to help the ski areas at Mount Ashland and Mount Shasta. They remain closed, pending a storm big enough to put a real snow layer on the slopes. Jason Young is with Shasta Ski Park. He's the base operations manager and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Jason, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
So what have you had any days that have been open at Shasta Ski Park thus far this season?
Well, we were open December 26th through the 30th there, just for 4 days, just to get customers up there and enjoy a little bit of snow, because we did get a little snowstorm during that time.
And what's the usual range of dates? What's the target date for opening every year?
Our target date's usually middle of December, and then, you know, we try to aim to close about middle of April.
All right. So a very different year this year, and there was just enough snow from that storm in December to keep you open for those few days after Christmas?
Well, we had a storm, and then we were able to make snow. So that those two things coupled and allowed us to have one run open and some tubing.
And what is the actual history on this particular ski area? I believe it's the second ski area on Mount Shasta, but how long has Shasta Ski Park been open in its more or less current form?
We opened in 1985. Mm-hmm. We opened in the winter of 1985.
All right. And you have been open a few days this year. Have there been any years in that time? We're talking a span of,
roughly
math fails me, 28 years, but yes, 28 years plus now at Shasta Ski Park. And has there been a season that ever compared with this one?
Well, you know, 2 years ago we had that late opening of January 21st, which had been our latest opening. And then there was one back, I want to say, in the early 90s, in which we opened for about a month and then closed. But no, this has been the longest time frame of which we've not been open due to lack of precipitation.
So that year when you opened on January 21st, had you not opened earlier? Was there no December storm that got you open for a few days? That was the actual first event?
That was the actual opening date 2 years ago, was January 21st.
All right, so you mentioned that you do have the ability to make snow at Mount Shasta, but do you need a little help from nature just to get started there? Tell us about that process.
Well, you know, the big thing with making snow is the temperatures. So, you know, you need to sustain temperatures of under 28 degrees, and then there's a whole humidity factor and that kind of thing. So the problem that we've had with the last month or so is just the temperatures have been too warm, and we've had an inversion layer. So with the inversion layer, you know, downtown it might reach that temperature, downtown Mount Shasta, and weed areas, but then when you're up at the upper elevations, it's actually warmer up there than it is down at the 3,500 foot level.
And what is the, you have to have a water source, obviously, to run the, and what do you call the machines anyway? We do snow cannons.
Oh, snow guns. We call them snow guns. And, you know, we have about a 13 million gallon pond, which is, you know, for snowmaking is a limited water supply. So we have to be pretty strategic in how we pump the water to make the snow.
So you have to really decide specifically which slopes to go ahead and aim the guns at?
Right. Like, you know, that 26th of December time frame, you know, we were able to get one run open on Marmon, so we focused all our guns to make sure we had that. You know, we're not like some of the top areas that can pump from lakes and things. You know, we have a pond, and, you know, when you drain the pond, then we have to wait for it to fill back up.
And what's the situation with the pond now, given that it has been snowing very, very little at Mount Shasta?
Actually, I don't know. I haven't talked to my mountain manager of how much water we have in the pond right now, but I mean, we could definitely blow snow if we had some nice cold nights. We just haven't reached the temps that we needed to blow snow.
So it really is just not just a matter of precipitation and humidity, but also just a matter of temperature, period.
Right, and then, you know, on top of that, we do need a snowstorm, though, to help get things open. You know, right now we have no snow in the base area, so we need, you know, roughly 2 feet of snow to get open.
And there's just nothing on the slopes at this point?
No, I mean, a little bit of man-made snow right in front of the, that you'd see on our base area cam from the snow that we made and the snow that was there from where the tubing hill was. But no, there's no snow down at our elevation yet.
So, Jason, walk us through the process of getting people ready for the season. I'm talking about the people who work there, because you have to bring them in, I'm sure, and pay them just to get trained and up to speed and know what their roles are going to be on a day when there are skiers there, skiers and boarders there. Walk us through that process, how long it takes, how many people you have on, and then what happens when the training is done and you're not ready to open.
Well, you know, we start our hiring process in November. We do all our hiring, you know, through the month of November, and then about the beginning of December, because we figure to open in the middle of December, we do an orientation day in which they get a lot of their training and things like that, safety training. And then after that, they're on standby until we get ready to open. So usually if we decide, let's say we're going to open December 16th, then we'll bring them in a few days early to get their hands-on training to get ready to go. Because usually we hire about 300 employees. Half of them are typically returning, the other half are new. So the returning employees help out the new employees to get ready. And but then after that, they're on standby with no paycheck. So that's one of the trickle-down effects of this entire thing. We usually hire about 300 people. Those 300 people are sitting on the sidelines not getting a paycheck.
And where do most of them live during the course of the ski season?
Oh, they live in the most of them live in the Siskiyou County area. We do have some that travel from Redding, but most live in Siskiyou County.
All right. So, yeah, 300 employees and 150 new. And how long will the new folks actually be? I mean, how many hours will they have worked in a season like this one where they've basically been there for their orientation and five skiing days and nothing else?
You mean in a typical season?
I mean, how many hours do they have now? I mean, anybody?
Oh, just what they did in orientation. You know what I mean? So that was what? Plus, you know, now the 4 days that we were open, that was a super limited staff. So we didn't work with 300 employees because we only had one lift open. And things like that. So, you know, if you talk to the majority of the employees, which is over 250 employees at that time, you know, they've only worked whatever orientation was that day, which is like 4 hours.
And so do you keep in touch with them regularly? I mean, daily, weekly, something during the shutdown period?
Oh, we're roughly weekly. You know, we have most of our managers laid off at this moment and that kind of thing. So we just touch bases. So, I mean, most everybody kind of watches the weather and just waits to see that storm come in. And once that storm comes in, then the phone calls happening.
And have any people just left and said, forget it, I can't do this because they just can't keep waiting for money to come in?
Well, we have had some. You know, I mean, I know a few that have left the area, gone back to, you know, maybe where they were originally from or found another job in a different place, not necessarily in the ski industry, and, you know, had to go find work elsewhere.
And as you talk to other ski area operators, and I'm sure you do once in a while, I mean, the folks in the Sierra actually did get enough, some of them, to open up with the storm last week, I understand, but nothing that got far enough north to make a difference at Shasta.
No. You know, I mean, the top areas have a little bit, one, they get a little colder temperatures than we do. Two, they usually get a little bit more snowfall than we do, so they've been able to open. You know, some of those places are still on a limited basis, you know, and they have better snowmaking capabilities, but, you know, Ashland and us, you know, we're still in that same boat of just waiting for snow.
It's Ashland, it's you, and I was just looking at Willamette Pass. They're trying to stay open on weekends for the time being, but not a lot of snow up there either. We're talking to Jason Young, who is the base operations manager at Shasta Ski Park near Mount Shasta. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange near Mount Shasta City, obviously on Mount Shasta, the mountain itself. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Comments or questions about the ski business and the difficulty of staying in it this year, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782 by email jx@jeffnet.org. Of the jobs on the slopes, which are the ones that require the most time to train, Jason?
Probably our learning center, just because they're dealing with you know, new skiers and snowboarders, so they probably have the most amount of training that has to be done.
And are you able to pick up people who have previous experience in the business, or are you generally training a lot of people who are in the ski business for the first time?
It just depends on the season. You know, this season we had a pretty high turnover, but that typically happens because the younger, you know, to teach the younger kids and that kind of thing, we use a lot of ski instructors from high school and, you know, into their early college years. And then so when they either graduate high school or finish the two-year college process here at COS, then, you know, they move on to, you know, their four-year or something else. So, you know, our adult instructors are usually they usually stick around, so.
And we're talking about COS, College of the Siskiyou, is based in Weed. It's a junior college for the folks who don't know that that area. When the people do get hired, though, and they're unable to work, are they eligible for unemployment benefits? I mean, what sorts of help can they get to just kind of be able to feed themselves and pay their rent while they're waiting for the mountain to open?
Well, most of them have found other jobs to work, you know, in the meantime. You know, I know a couple people that are working other part-time jobs until the ski park opens. Some are eligible for unemployment. It just depends on, you know, if they're returning employees or new employees or if they've worked. You know, some of our rental personnel come in early and do, you know, do startup stuff on all the equipment. So, you know, they're eligible for some things. So it just honestly depends on what their history is with the park.
Talk about what has to happen on these essentially dry periods when nothing's happening. Is there somebody, a skeleton staff, doing just sort of regular maintenance, or you know, making sure that the snow guns aren't freezing up, whatever?
Yeah, we have a super, our staff right now is very minimal, and they're just doing maintenance per day. Make sure the vehicles are upkept, make sure the snow guns, like you said, are that we're keeping those. And then, you know, we're also running lifts that transport a mass amount of people up the mountain, so we have to make sure that those meet regulations and things like that. So there's always maintenance to be done on the hill, whether we're open or closed.
Things like inspections and safety checks and all that sort of stuff, do those come fewer and farther between if the ski area is not operational, or is it still something that happens on a weekly or monthly or quarterly basis?
No, we still have to do our inspections, and then, you know, the inspections by the state and things, those are prescribed no matter whether we're open or closed.
So, Jason, how much time do you guys spend looking at the weather charts and satellite images, you know, radar, any of that stuff to have some idea of when the next storm
comes? It depends on the day. It depends on how I'm feeling. But no, you know, we're looking at it constantly. You know, I was on it this morning, right when I came in at 7 o'clock, and just kind of watching the three different models and, you know, hoping to see something. You know, it's nice to finally see that the high pressure is broken down. And we're starting to see some elements of weather coming in.
There was some rain, and it looked like even a little light snow falling in the Rogue Valley this morning as I was on my way to work at about 4 o'clock. What did you get, if anything, overnight at Mount Shasta?
We didn't really get anything here. Maybe at this super high elevations above 11,000 feet, but, you know, we haven't received anything below 10,000 feet.
And what's the highest elevation at the ski area itself?
We start at 5,500 and then go up to 6,800.
All right, and I did notice that Mount Ashland, they reported 1 inch of snow in the last 24 hours and just 3 inches over the past 7 days. Has it been similarly lame down at Mount Shasta?
Yes, you know, I mean, we maybe had an inch at the top of Gray Butte, which isn't even in our ski resort, so, you know, that's another 1,000 feet up. So we've had a lot of rain, that kind of thing up at the park, but nah, no snow yet.
So did you have some snowpack that the rain just washed away on you?
No, yeah, the temperatures were a little warm on this storm cycle, you know, and what we're starting to see starting Wednesday is the temperatures start to drop for us, you know, and they'll get down into the low 20s, which is a good sign.
All right, so you're confident from what you're seeing now. You mentioned the high-pressure ridge breaking down, and I noticed that one scientist had given it the name the Ridiculously Resilient Ridge of High Pressure.
Yeah.
You probably heard that too, huh?
Yes, yes.
And so what are you seeing? It looks like it's finally breaking down?
Well, it did break down, you know, but now we're just waiting for precipitation to come through in the form of snow. So that we'll see as we go over, you know, the next 10 days. It's not looking super promising, but at least it's changing. So that's a good sign.
So if you had to make a guess, I mean, here we are at the beginning of February, and you usually can stay up until about the middle of April. I mean, do you really think you'll get maybe a solid month of good ski time in, or could it be better than that even?
Oh, we could hope for, you know, at least 2 months. You know, we still have two. And we also, you know, we're a private ski resort, so we can open and close when we want. So the other thing is, you know, if we were to get a really good snowpack, you know, maybe we get a couple good storms in that drop enough snow, you know, we might stay open until the 1st of May if that snow comes along and we get the customers and there's a built-up demand for it. So, you know, the middle of April is not necessarily a firm set closing date. It just depends on weather, and it depends on, you know, how many customers are coming up to utilize the park.
Jason Young, what happens to people who have bought season passes at Shasta Ski Park? I mean, where does their money get to roll over into a second season if there are no more days, or how does that all work?
Well, you know, we still have, you know, 2.5 months in the season, so we let our season pass holders know that. You know, there's no guarantee of when we're going to open or when we're going to close. Now, if we didn't have a season, that'd be a different story. We'll have a plan in place at the time. We're still talking about those things and what we would do. But, you know, right now, you know, we keep telling our pass holders, look, we still have about 2.5 months left in the season, and if there is no season, then we'll have a plan in place for them.
All right, but the plan is yet to be figured out based on what actually happens.
Well, we have a couple ideas, but you know, we'll wait for that to we'll wait to, you know, give out those plans until we're, you know, closer to understanding that we don't have a season. So we're still holding out hope.
So when you and the other people get together and talk about just to have chats with yourselves, I assume on a daily basis, I mean, what do you talk about besides the weather? Because it seems like there's really not much you can do other than wait.
No, that's about what we're doing right now. It's just waiting. You know, I mean, we talk about the maintenance and making sure everything's set to go and you know, watching the weather. But, you know, overall, it's just on standby until we open.
And how often do you check with the employees to make sure that they're still available? You mentioned some of them had drifted off and gotten other jobs, but are you reasonably confident you have most of the 300 still available to you?
I don't know. You know, I mean, the other thing that we're starting to face is that you have a spring season that's going to start up, and if there's no weather, do the golf courses start opening earlier? Do, you know, some of these other seasonal jobs that are in the summer start to open earlier if they have that ability? So, you know, I mean, we keep touch with our employees, and, you know, we'll work with whatever we have. We've run smaller crews before, so, you know, it just depends on what happens when we open and that kind of thing.
It sounds like it's a tough situation, though, just waiting for something to happen.
Oh, yeah, and it's not just tough for us. You know, I mean, you know, the trickle-down effect is not just the employees. You know, we typically, on a good year, can bring in upwards of over $15 million to the community of Siskiyou County. You know, that's to Dunsmuir, Weed, Mount Shasta, to those hotels, to those restaurants. So, you know, I mean, we're waiting and, you know, wanting, you know, the customers to come in to, you know, make money since we're a business. But, you know, it's also the town of Mount Shasta and the town of Weed and the town of Dunsmuir that usually wait for those 140,000 customers that are not coming in. And some of those businesses, you know, they save some of that money that they're earning in December, January, and February when these customers are coming, and they use that for their slower months of April, May, until the summer season kicks off. So that's not happening. So there's some businesses in trouble.
Indeed. And based on a snowstorm, things could change almost overnight. Jason Young is the base operations manager at Shasta Ski Park. Jason, thanks for joining us on The Exchange today. Best of luck.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. That'll do it for this hour of the Jefferson Exchange. In hour number two, we'll meet the author of The Angel Effect.